This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. It is great to be with you guys, as always, on 97.5, the Fanatic, Philadelphia, 97.9, ESPN Radio, Tallahassee, Sports Monster, 107.5 Alive, and Rhythm Mix Radio. No comments about the beautiful this week?
No, last I week? Got no? it in All last right. week, yeah.
Well, happy official birthday to you on the radio.
Yeah. Thank you.
I hope you had a wonderful, it's birthday week for you, right?
It really
it's not
is.
Just a day. You're kind of like the kids. You celebrate your birthday over the course of the whole week.
Yeah, I used to celebrate for a whole month. I'm grown up now.
You grew out of that
yes,
a little bit?
I'm only doing 1 week and that's it. 1 week is plenty, I think.
Celebrate for a week. Well, we all deserve happy birthday to
Thank
you. We all deserve to celebrate our birthday. We all deserve to celebrate every single day.
Yeah,
every day
true.
Every day's a blessing, and I've been feeling kind of blah lately. So,
I am so blah today.
Yeah,
I mean, I
how
think
about
it's
that?
Because like yes, like I had
it's
my
cold.
Birthday, and, like, you
yeah,
know what I mean? Like I don't know today. I'm just not with it.
Yeah, it's cold and stuff like that going on. But these are the days you gotta fight through, and that's what we're gonna talk about. Our guest this week is Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Harrison Phillips, and as I spoke to Harrison, he talked a little bit about a Bible verse that's very significant to him, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit at the start of the show, and it's 2 Timothy 4:7. It's one of those verses that's been talked, it's very popular, and it's often talked about, and in Paul's letter to Timothy, this is the last of the books that Paul wrote in the Bible, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. I was just diving into that and looking at what does that mean, right? To fight the good fight. And I have finished the race and I have kept the faith. And, you know, he knows he's at the end of his life and he's in prison when he's writing this letter. And I'm thinking about that going, right? We often sometimes we fight a good fight. Mm-hmm. But as we're fighting that fight and keeping the faith, there's ups and downs. And what do we do during those ups and downs? How do
we get
rebound?
Faith and then we lose faith and we gain faith and we lose faith. Yeah.
And so you're going to go through peaks and valleys.
Right.
And Paul, man, he was going through this in prison oftentimes. And he knew he was ready. He was willing. He was going to pay whatever sacrifice it took, even if he was going to be executed and he's beaten and he's whipped and he's chained and all of this stuff. But as you'll hear Harrison talk about later, earlier, Paul wrote in the Bible how he was going to go and spread the gospel. He was going to go out and do this. He was going to go fight that good fight. And he was willing to endure whatever the circumstances are. And it makes me question sometimes, am I willing to endure those circumstances? Am I willing? Because sometimes it's tough. It's not easy. And I think we all go through that. We all go through these moments and these times where sometimes it's just easier to not do the right thing. It's easier to do the worldly thing.
Right.
It's harder to try and follow Christ's example or an example of someone like Paul. And you got to keep the faith through those times. Keep fighting. And even if people don't realize or understand or appreciate or recognize, God is watching.
Right.
And he knows what you're doing at all times. So no matter how difficult it is for us, endure, persevere. And I take that part out of it.
The thing is, I know this is hard, and I know, like, we go through things as Christians where, like, it seems to be easier to go with the world sometimes.
Yeah.
It seems to be, you know, why don't I just, like, do whatever everybody else is doing? It seems so much easier, seems so much quieter, and you're not going against the grain, you're not going against the waves, you're just flowing and doing whatever everybody else was doing. And, you know, I was reading today in Isaiah, and the bottom description was saying that, yeah, sometimes it's easier to go with everybody was doing and you just go with the flow. But the thing is, there's always two options. It's either you're going with God's flow or you're going with self-destruction. Mm. And it's just one or the other. There's really no other way for it. The self-destruction doesn't really start with self-destruction. It starts with the simple, like, going, taking the easy way out, mm-hmm. doing what everybody else is doing, following the sins of the world and thinking it's okay because everybody else think it's okay. So you're like, no, this is easy. Let's just pretend everything is fine. I'm going to take the easy way out. But it's actually, you're on the road to self-destruction because little by little, you're forgetting who you are. Little by little, you're getting painted like the world. And you're on the way to self-destruction. On the other side, there is God's way, the Christian way, the Christ way. And that's hard. And it's very, very difficult sometimes. And most days you don't feel like it. Most days you're hated for it. Most days people make fun of you for it. But but at the end of the day, you're on the way to the kingdom of God. You're on the way to something that is so beautiful. And you're on the way to just be in heavenly places with Christ. And I guess that keeps me in perspective and keeps me in a good mood when I'm in a bad mood, like today, when I'm just like, why this, why that? And I'm seeing like all these things and things are happening in the world and you don't feel like, man, it's really easier to just go with the world.
Pack it in or give up the fight.
Right. Be like, yeah, whatever. Why am I fighting so hard? I'm tired. You know, well, I'm tired. So
here's the thing that Paul... You can tell that he learned. See, Paul was, as bad as some of us think we may be at certain times or wherever we came from, like Paul persecuted Christians. So his transformation on the road to Damascus when he's knocked off the horse and he's blinded and Jesus appears to him and he undergoes this incredible transformation to become one of the greatest disciples of all time and write 13 books in the New Testament, he realized that the Christian life is a spiritual battle.
Right.
And it is a constant spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. So we're all going to go through battles at various points, sometimes in one day, sometimes in the course of 1 week. And there's a struggle against evil because there's evil everywhere. Oh, there's evil all around us. There's evil. It's a battle. It's a constant battle. And a spiritual battle is a difficult one. And sometimes as you're trying to navigate through decisions, you have to look at various points in various ways, how you handle a tough moment and a tough time. And why am I going to react one way or why would I say one way? And is it for me? Is it for my benefit? Am I fighting for the truth? Am I fighting for justice? What am I fighting for? Yeah. But if we take a step back and take ourselves out of it and don't let our ego control where we're going and don't let our personal feelings about something and our own selfish pride, because we're all guilty of selfish pride, make a decision for us and try and think about it from the perspective of, what's the godly way to handle this? What would Christ want me to do?
Right. And you know what, though? This year, and I don't know why God keeps highlighting this for me this year. Actually, by the end of 2020, this was something that God highlighted for me. And it's just like, you know, every day you have to make a choice, right? And every day there's something to be made. It's always a hard decision, you know, with everything, not just with following Christ, with everything in life. You know, not eating healthy is hard because you're going to just not like how you feel. You not like how you look. That's hard. And then working out is hard. So you got to choose your heart. Which heart do you want? So, and the same thing.
Slammed with work. Like I thought Eagle season's over and I could just focus on the NFL, get to the Super Bowl, get through the Super Bowl. And then all of a sudden bam. Eagles fire their head coach. And here comes more stuff going on.
There is never a perfect time. There's never a right time.
Not at all this week.
No, and again, this is why I've been challenging myself since the beginning of the year. And I don't want to call it like a whatever resolution. It's not a resolution. I like goals. And to me, like what I was saying, that God was highlighting this concept for me so much. Like it kept like just coming to me every time I pray. Choose your heart. Which heart do you want? Mm-hmm. Do you want the lazy heart or do you want the heart that gives you result? Because everything is hard. Like, you know, blowing your money and not saving is hard because you're going to be broke. And then saving money is hard, but you're going to end up with money in your bank account. It's just, it's the same heart, but just choose your heart, which one. You know, following Christ is hard. Not following Christ is also hard because you're going to be like a leaf blowing in the wind. Whatever direction, whatever the way the wind blows, you're going to go. Yeah. That's kind of hard. You're going to be like all over the place. So which heart do you want to go with every day? You have to make that decision. From the second you wake up, that's what I ask myself. Which heart do I want to choose today? And the funny thing is when I choose the right heart, when I choose the right things to do, I end up so much happier at the end of the day. And I'm so proud of myself for all the things that I've accomplished. And I've mentioned this before. I have like the little list that I have to go through every day. And when I go through my goals, the daily goals, which, you know, makes me think of everything I need to do, which is like, you know, reading the Bible, working out, doing things for, you know, the business that we have, like with the 828 threads or my cookbook or something, you know, like you got to work on something, you know, yeah. Work on your goals every single day.
And sometimes you just don't want to, though.
You don't. Oh, I know. But see, the funny thing, choose your heart. When I don't, I end up miserable the rest of the day. Like today, I am so off balance. I didn't work out. I did read my Bible. That's non-negotiable. I read my Bible and I prayed with a girl. That's non-negotiable. So I did that part. But everything else got so thrown off that I was like, you know what? Let me just go grocery shopping. Like, at least I can get that done. Like, I was so thrown off. Like, I just did not like it because I have a routine. And I chose the hard things that I want to do every day. And I want to commit to them because I want the other side of that. The other side of that is actually freedom. It's so funny because it's the same thing with being a Christian. The opposite side of doing the hard things for Christ is freedom in Christ. Mm. And when you are free in Christ, you are free indeed. Free of everything. Free of fear. Free from...
See, that's good.
Yeah, free from this misery of the world. Free from the darkness of the world. Free from just the anxiety of the world. And in this day and age,
when you look at
social media, you get so much anxiety.
Oh my gosh, you
want to collapse to the floor and give up.
Because there's so much negativity. People whining and complaining. I get it. I understand it. It's an outlet.
Yeah.
And sometimes,
it's not an outlet anymore. It is disastrous.
That's all they have.
Like,
for some folks, that's all they have. That's their only way of communicating to someone. And
pick something else.
It's rough. It's tough.
If you're going to watch something, if you need like to pass your time, go on YouTube and actually watch intelligent things to like grow. No, I'm being serious. Grow your brand. Grow your following the right way. Grow your bank account. Grow your life
grow
of
your
Christ.
Faith. Grow your faith. Grow your spiritual.
There's so many elements that we need to work on.
Because
let's get real. There's so many elements that people are not working on that we need to work on.
Sometimes
you know, as Christians, we're lacking.
But sometimes you want to just shut it down. Like, I'm drained, and I'm at a point where I would like to take one day. I mean, forget a day. I would like to take half a day, just sit there and do nothing. No phone, no technology.
Who are you kidding?
Right? No phone. I'm telling you, but I would like this. No phone. No technology, and watch some stupid TV mind. Like, sometimes you need that, though, right? Sometimes you need, like, 5 hours, 4 hours, whatever it may be.
The time and day for everything,
right?
That's for sure.
There's a point to it. And if you're constantly work, or doing – sometimes you do need that. I'm getting there. I don't know when I'm going to get that time in. I'm hoping at some point soon. I do – as we're talking about spiritual battles and – that's part of the Christian life. I want to share something because I just alluded to Eagles coach being fired. Obviously, that's Doug Peterson. I want to share a message because I'm sure he wouldn't have a problem with this that he sent me, or I'll share part of it, that he sent to me before he was fired. This was the week leading up to it, when at this point, he didn't have any indication that this was going to transpire. Mm-hmm. And we were having a conversation, and I was talking about some of the battles and things that I'm facing, like similarly like this. And he said to me, God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. Stay strong, my friend. And I read that and I was like, that's so true.
That's very true. Right?
So sometimes as you're going through a difficult battle, take that as God is sending you a message.
Yeah.
I know you can.
You can do it.
You could tough it out. You can fight through this. And, you know,
God is not going to ask you for something you don't have.
There are so many different battles that we all go through, no matter what they are. Look, and using Paul here as an example, again, you know, he was stoned by angry crowds. He was beaten with whips. He was beaten with rods. He was put in prison time and time again. He was shackled in prison. He was on a ship that he was held captive, that almost shipwrecked. He went through all of this stuff, and he survived every danger. Every hazard that he had in the wilderness, everything on the sea. But as he was going through all of these difficulties, what he learned was that God's grace was sufficient for him in every circumstance that he faced. And sometimes we feel like that's not enough. Mm. And he's that ultimate. He's faced hostility. He was enemies all over. Sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty, heat exhaustion. Probably sometimes he was exposed to weather that was so cold he could have died of hypothermia. Like all of this stuff. But he learned that living a spiritual life meant consistently and constantly enduring this. And then maturing in your faith. And then not depending on your own ability or your own wisdom or your own intelligence or your own skills or all the talents that we have, but on the Holy Spirit within us.
Right. See, the thing is, like, as I said, God is not going to ask you for something you don't have. It's kind of like when you ask your child for 10 bucks, right? And you know that their piggy bank has 10 bucks in it. But you ain't going to ask the $10 unless you know that there's $10 in that piggy bank. Because you know it's your
kid. Wait, when have you ever asked a kid for money?
I'm just saying, you're not going to ever ask a child for $10. Like, you know, you need cash or something. But you know that they have the $10 in their piggy bank for, like, you know, pizza or something. I don't know. Sometimes you run out of cash. But so it's the same thing with God. Like, he's not going to ask you for something unless he knows your piggy bank is full. Like, he knows you.
I got you.
Yeah, don't go to sleep on me now.
I know, I see what you're saying.
So it's
been an early day, though. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay.
So whatever he asks of you, he already got, he gave it to you. And he's going to give you people to help you throughout your journey. He's
not going to go upstairs and ask the kids about their piggy bank and see how much they're giving mommy here. Mommy's new bank account. But no, you're finished the point.
I'm sorry, I never asked him for that, but what I'm saying is I know what's inside the piggy bank, because I gave him the money,
right?
I'm not gonna ask him.
A great analogy, though.
Yeah, like, really, I'm not gonna ask him for something that, like, it's not gonna happen, right? If I didn't give it to them, it's actually the same thing as love. Like, if you don't give love, you're not gonna give it back. Like, if you're not gonna say, hey kid, like, can I get a hug, and you've never hugged them or kissed them, they're gonna run away. It's the same thing. Whatever you give, you're going to get. So God give you everything you need. He equipped us with everything. Even though today, today I didn't feel like I got anything. I was just like, I don't know if I'm cut out for any of this. And I was just like going on a ride. And I was like, you know, every time in my car, all I do is just talk to Jesus, because we're like buddies, you know. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. I don't know if I got myself. I don't know what I got myself into. I don't know what I'm doing. It's hard. It's
a little completely about a little business venture you got going on, huh?
Everything I got going on.
You know
what I mean?
It's a little tough. It's difficult, but it's the early stages. And I got to remind you that that's the enemy attacking you, trying to tell you, hey,
I know, stealing everything
this,
from me.
Stealing your joy.
Stealing my joy. But then, like, on the radio, because, like, this always happens to me. There's a song that comes up by, like, Gokey, you know,
Danny Gokey.
Yeah, Danny Gokey. And it's like the one that says, like, just wait, don't give up, because it's right on the other side. You know, like that. Whatever you're working on, it's on the other side. Like, whatever you need is on right on the other side. Don't give up. The most important thing you do is just don't give up. Don't give up hope. Don't give up what God give you. Don't give up on the promise, because everything you need is right on the other side of that commitment. Just keep committed. Keep going. And it's right. And I felt like, I was like, are you serious? Like, that's such a reminder. That is such an answer to this prayer right now. And I needed it. I needed it in that moment. So my point is, don't run away from God. Run to God. Run to Jesus. Run to prayers. Run to worship music, because it has your answers. Because I literally was in a car going, I don't know if I made the right decision. And all I want you to tell me right now is that I did. And then this song came on and I was like, boy, I needed that. I needed that. That's such an answer, you know. To not give up, to not let go of the promise, to just stick with it. Because, again, choose your heart. If I just say, you know what, I give up, right. I'm going to go right back to where I started, which is ground zero. You know what I mean? And if I keep going, maybe, just maybe, there's something on the other side.
Just a little Danny Gokey for you.
And you still have no answer.
Yeah, that is the song. That's the song.
Have you been pulling out your heart for so many years? Have you been hoping?
Well, it doesn't help.
Things would have changed by now.
Yeah, maybe this is a good idea.
Have you cried all the faith you have through so many tears?
Wait, 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 how about...
Right there.
It's like the brightest sunrise waiting on the other side of the darkest night. Don't ever lose hope. Hold on and believe. Maybe you just haven't seen it. Just haven't seen it yet. You're closer than you think you are. Only moments from the break of dawn. All these promises are just up ahead.
I'm going.
How about that?
I can always come to you for an answer, because literally I was like at a point where I'm just like, I don't know if this is the right decision for me. I don't, at this point, you need to answer. I was like, you need to answer right now, because I need that decision. I need you to make it right now. But I have zero patience, man.
Even
when I'm talking to Jesus.
But here's the thing.
He's so cool. He answers.
With this Bible verse, right? It is... This is an encouraging message that Paul left for Timothy.
Yeah.
Right? He's telling him, I fought the good fight. I endured, right?
And I made it
to the finish line.
Yeah.
I went through the fight and I stayed the course.
Yeah.
I finished the race. I kept the faith.
Yeah.
And when that happens, your reward is coming in heaven.
Yeah.
Our reward is coming in heaven. But along the way, sometimes we're going to have these battles. We're going to have these battles, whatever they are, whatever they're worldly battles, or sometimes they're just internal battles, like the one that you were going through because it was self-doubt. That's what that is.
Oh, yeah.
That's self-doubt.
I do that myself all the time.
And you're talking about, and you don't think other, you know, as we're doing a show called Faith on the Field, you know how many athletes go through self-doubt? You know how many athletes go through moments of they're struggling, they're slumping, they're having a bad season or a half a season or whatever it may be, and they start to doubt their performance.
Yeah.
But for them, and then the fans are getting on them, the media's getting on them, and how dare you stink when you're getting paid X amount of money and all of that. And they need to block it out. And they talk about this all the time. And that's something, as I mentioned, Doug Peterson earlier, that he was really good at, was saying block out the noise, block out the noise. And you can't let that. And some of these some other conversations, he and I talked about that stuff too, is that it's going to come. People are going to come after you. You have to block it out. But when that's from within, when it's self-doubt.
That's the worst part.
That's the tough part. And it's great that you were able to, like, I was surprised, because normally when you go grocery shopping, it's first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And this
was almost up, right?
Right? Now, this was like 4 or 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And you're like, bam, I got to go buy some groceries. I'm like, good. Mm-hmm. Because you need to get, you just need, sometimes you need to get out.
I need it to.
Go for a ride. For me, it's, I'll go like.
Oh, and thanks for not ever filling the gas tank, dude.
Oh, like, sorry.
Like, for real. For real.
I didn't expect
I want to get in a car one time, man. I'm putting you in bliss right now. And that gas tank is ever full. Like, okay, so I don't know if there's anybody out there like me, but I freak out at like a quarter tank. At a quarter tank, I need to fill the
gas
tank.
You freak out sometimes at half a tank.
Right,
at
like, a half a tank.
Oh, my goodness.
This guy right here. He'd be like, the car is beeping, doing all that, like, ding, 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 ding. He's like, oh, we still got 50 miles to go. We're good.
I didn't realize it.
No.
I didn't expect you to have to be going out.
Well, I sure did.
I was planning on putting some gas in there for you tomorrow.
I filled the car with gas.
I'm glad. Did you go to Be Happy Guy?
No. I went to Wawa.
Oh, okay. Because so I got to tell everybody, because there's a local gas station. I don't even know
the derailing,
name.
But yeah.
I don't know the name. See, I'm taking it off. I don't know the name of the gas station. I forget. But every time we go there, whether it's you or me, we get our gas. And the only thing the guy says at the end, you know, he gives you your card back or whatever. He says, be happy.
Be happy. And
be
walks
happy.
Away.
And walks away.
He's
I'm like,
so funny. He's so cool.
He's an older guy. Yeah. You know, and I'm
and
like,
he's always happy.
He's always happy.
Always very cheerful. Even
kinda,
in like freezing winter of New Jersey. Like,
kind of like Paul in whatever the moment is, wherever you are.
He's pretty cool. So we call him the Be Happy Guy.
Be Happy Guy.
Yeah. But yeah, so I went and I got the ride because I needed that. I needed the car ride by myself. I needed to speak with Christ aloud in the middle of the day because, you know, I do that at night. When you're putting kids to sleep, but I needed that in the middle of the night. I need a middle of the day kind of conversation.
You need that. We all need that. We all need time alone.
Yeah. Well, no, I just.
For me, it's just driving to go get some iced coffee. I reach a point in the day where, like, all right, I need to go. You know, the virtual school's driving me crazy right now. News alerts and things coming in, and I'm writing and I'm doing and all that stuff. I just got to go take a ride. I'm going to go get my. Right. My iced coffee, and that's fine. We all need that.
So my iced coffee is Christ, really. I just talk to Jesus.
Like, I love
that's
it.
Just me and him.
Oh, you please.
Know? You
drink coffee, too.
I drink
a couple
coffee
a day.
At home. I drink coffee at home.
Yeah,
down
except on your birthday, I went and got you a little, your favorite Starbucks on your birthday. But to wrap this up, let us all follow in Paul's footsteps and fight that good fight of faith so we can say, just like Paul did, I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And in the future, there is this crown, which the Christ Jesus has laid for me, and he will give to me on that day. So that is the hope. That is the goal. Fight that good fight. Stay the course. Finish the race. And it will be there for us. In the end. Up next, you're going to hear from Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Harrison Phillips. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Motti.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at Karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on a Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an incredible lineup of guests. You can listen anytime at your convenience. We're also on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. So please tell a friend, share it out, download, subscribe, all that great stuff. Leave a review too as well. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you sign up for our weekly email list, we'll send you each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on all of our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and at Real Rob Motti on Instagram. Remy is at Remy Motti. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and other events that we're hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of the more recent messages and interviews as well. Harrison Phillips was a third-round pick out of Stanford by the Buffalo Bills in 2018. He's a defensive tackle who fills an important role on the line for a team that was 14-3 going into the divisional round of the playoffs against the Baltimore Ravens. He does a ton of work in the community. He's just an all-around great dude. Here's my conversation with Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Harrison Phillips.
Harrison, before you guys beat the Colts last week, the Bills hadn't won a playoff game in your lifetime. I don't know if you're aware of that, but they beat Miami in a wild card game December 30th, 1995. You were born a month later, so happy early birthday. I believe it's going to be next week. Yeah. Did you ever look at it in those terms, and what did it mean to this team to finally break that long drought?
Yeah, I have, and I was fortunate that when I got here, Jim Kelly kind of took me under his wing. And so I was able to, you know, learn from the things that they did while they were here, most importantly, learn how amazing this whole area in Western New York and the city is when the Bills are winning. But, you know, Jim's older now, and so I started thinking, wait a minute, y'all haven't won one like this since you were closer to my age. You know, you're kind of old, and, you know, so I've had a good perspective on it, and it's really an incredible thing that we've done here in Buffalo from, you know, our general manager, head coach, and the people that they brought in here to bring a winning team back to the city. It's fantastic.
You just mentioned the fans. You guys had fans in the stadium for the first time last week, obviously a smaller crowd because of COVID and everything going on. What was it like to have some of the Bills Mafia there in the stands to see you guys?
It was incredible. And I think that the thing that I appreciated the most is I've been able to get to know some of these people who live in Western New York and are diehard Bills fans, and how much it means to them to get to be here. You know, it's their livelihood. You know, they live and die with the Buffalo Bills, and people who you know, have had children and raised children, and those children have never known of a playoff game here. And so for them to maybe come and experience fathers and sons being in the stadiums, or just old season ticket members who have been waiting and waiting for a home playoff game, for them to be able to be here, make some noise, and help us win the game, it's really special to play in front of them.
Now you guys, you got a tough matchup against Baltimore Saturday night. We know about Lamar Jackson and what he can do and that prolific run game that they have. How do you limit Lamar? Like, how do you go out there? And it's not just him, right? It's he's got Dobbins, Edwards, all running the ball, and then they're dangerous in the air as well. So what do you guys have to do to contain this team?
You know, like you said, they have some unbelievable athletes on their team that can run the ball Their scheme is fantastic. I'm in awe just watching Lamar, the way that he's developed so far in the league. I can't say enough positive things about him. I think that obviously our plan is it comes down to gap integrity and tackling. A lot of times when those running backs or even Lamar are breaking large runs, it's because guys are not in their proper gap or they're missing one-on-one tackles with the guys. And so as long as we are all gap sound and have gap integrity, we do our specific job, our 111. And then when the play's there to make, everybody make their play respectively. So those are the ways that we have to limit them, and we can't let the run game really get going and building.
As you just said about Lamar and his development in the league, you came in as a third-round pick in 2018, the same year Josh Allen was a first-round pick by Buffalo, and his rise has been also quite impressive to where he's in the conversation this year for MVP. What have you seen out of him and his development over the 3 years?
Yeah, I mean, like you just said, he's the MVP of the league, playing at such a high standard. And the jump that he made from 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 is unbelievable. I can't wait to see the jump he even has from 3 to 4. I think he's only tapping the potential that he has in this league. And, you know, it's a guy who cares about what he does. He has the right weapons around him now and built the offense to kind of suit some of his strengths. And the thing I like the most about him, if I had to pick one play out of everything he's done, was that Dallas 4th and 1 on Thanksgiving, where he got stopped short of the line, ball's coming out, and he just fought and beat as many guys as he could to get that first down. And that's the grit and the warrior that he is, and it's inspiring as a leader in our team.
Harrison, I want to ask you a couple coaches. You've played under defensive coordinator Leslie Frazier. He's been interviewed for some head coaching positions. He's been in a conversation. He already was a head coach previously. What would you say about him if another team reached out and asked you?
Selfishly, I'd say, oh, no, don't go with that guy. You can't give him. But in an honest way, I'm so happy for Coach Frazier. He's a fantastic individual, a great coach, cares about his players tremendously, and has proven that he can be in this league. I mean, he's won a Super Bowl as a player and as a coach. I respect him tremendously. Will definitely be a huge loss if he ends up leaving the Buffalo Bills, but I don't know who's all applying for head coaching jobs out there, but there's not many better candidates than him.
As for Sean McDermott, I know him from his time in Philadelphia. I know what kind of guy he is, what kind of coach he is. What has he meant to you and your development, and being that he brought you into Buffalo?
Yeah, first and foremost, you know, like you said, I was a third round pick. So every team had a chance to pick me, you know, prior to the Bills, and they were the first ones to pick me. And so that in itself was a motivation to me to want to help prove them right for choosing me to come here. And then just how he's treated me through my time here, through the ups and downs with my injury last year, battling this year, being somewhat healthy, but not my true self, all the mental toughness has to come along with that. So I'm very appreciative that in my time as a young player in the NFL, he's been my head coach to be in my development, to teach me all the things it means to be a professional, and that it doesn't just have to be transactional, that this doesn't just have to be a business. Yes, there's going to be some things that are, but there's still people. We're all still people. And the number one thing in this building is the people, and, you know, loving one another can kind of conquer everything. So I'm very fortunate that I have spent my first 3 years here.
Before that injury last season, you got your first career sack, half sack on Eli Manning. I think you knocked down a couple of his passes in that game. To be able to say that's the guy, right, a two-time Super Bowl champion who you got your first sack on, what did that feel like to you? Have you even reflected on it?
Yeah, you know, it was really cool during that year. A hard time, obviously, because I went from my very best game in my career and I tore my ACL the next week. So it was my highest of highs to my lowest of lows. And there was a lot of tests that went along there. But I believe that Eli was pulled the next game, and they started going with Daniel Jones, right? Yeah. And so for like, I don't know, 13, 14 weeks, I was the last person that had sacked Eli Manning. That was the last sack in our game. And so I was like, hey, my claim to fame could be that I was the last person. If he doesn't come back in and he retires, I would have been the last person. But he came in towards the end of the year and he gave up a couple sacks. So I can't say that. But it was definitely a cool moment and inspiration for me, you know, as I start to get back fully to my true 100% self and attack this offseason to get back out there and to get a few more notches on the belt as well.
You mentioned how tough that is to come back from that injury. It's obviously, I've had an ACL. I know the physical part of it. I know the rehab part of it, But the mental side of it, especially for someone like yourself, who, like you said, you were coming off a great game, best game, and then it happens. What helped you through that emotional roller coaster?
I mean, I can't lie to you. It was a very hard, dark time for me. I fell into kind of some seasonal depression and stuff like that. But ultimately, leaning on my faith and realizing that there's some bigger things outside of here that's really going on. And if my worst, you know, the worst thing that happens to me in my life is tearing the ACL and having to miss a few games in the NFL, I think that my life is pretty solid. And so just trying to find ways, you know, last year pre-COVID, I started getting out of the community, doing more and more as I could with my organizations and nonprofits, and just trying to get perspective on things and find passion since that desire in me to give and to serve. Sometimes I find that through football, just doing my job, helping the team win. Since that was taken away from me, just tried to do as much as I could in the community and kind of have that servant leadership to find purpose.
Well, I want to talk about that because you were nominated, Harrison, first for the Salute to Service Award, which recognizes exceptional efforts by members of the NFL community to honor and support U.S. service members, veterans, and their families. Now, your grandfathers were in the military. So how did that inspire you to help and reach out to the veteran community?
Yeah, I mean, definitely those values and morals that are taught in the service were instilled in my family and passed on to me as well. To see my grandparents, my grandfather's work ethic, and it definitely did help my development to get to where I am today. And then once I've been here working with the VA, working with some of the World War II vets that came and visited us last year, I mean, what a better way to, you know, help your nation than to serve in the Army. So that's inspiring to me, or serving the service. So I always salute to them. Anytime I see someone in uniform, I definitely go up and thank them for the service and shake their hands, because, you know, that is, you know, they fought so that we could play this game.
You were also nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year Award, which a lot of players, Harrison, tell me, out of everything that they do, whether it's Pro Bowls, All Pro, individual awards, this is more significant to them because it's doing a lot of work for others, as you mentioned, in the community, helping service. You did a lot of work around the pandemic. You have the Playmakers organization, which supports children with intellectual disabilities. Tell me a little bit more about what you do and what you're passionate about and how that's inspired you to work.
Yeah, I mean, I like to say that my heart isn't biased. You know, I got a lot of love to give. I've done work. Obviously, my kind of bread and butter is my organization, the Playmakers. And like you said, we work with kids with developmental differences and special needs. And we've grown that to working with almost 1,000 kids throughout the United States, whether it's here, back home, or where I went to school. I work a lot with pediatric cancer, visit Oshai Children's Hospital here in Buffalo quite frequently when the pandemic's not going on. And so that's why I wanted to give back to the frontliners, you know, donated 850 meals or something to the doctors and nurses up here, work with the VA. Most recently just started working with some animal rescues and dog shelters, providing them with monetary donations as well as food, treats, toys for the animals, blankets during the winter time. And I just feel like there's so much bigger purpose than just playing football. And eventually, hopefully in a long, long time, but I don't, obviously out of my control, I'll be done with football at some point, and you're going to need to find, you know, who you are. And all of us in the league, there's so many times identity issues where people think they are a football player. Then when that's gone, there's that huge transition that you have to deal with. And so just trying to serve in my community and find value there so that if and when football does end for me at some point, you know, I can still have value somewhere else.
Harrison, 2 Timothy 4:7 says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished.
I finished the race. I've kept my faith.
Yep. Why is this Bible verse significant to you?
Well, for a few reasons. You know, I had lost a wrestling teammate of mine when I was in high school to a car accident. And prior to that, he had another incident where he was was in a coma for a while, and that was kind of a prayer that we always prayed over him was, you know, fight the good fight, finish the race, keep your faith. And so at his funeral, when he had passed away my freshman year, it was his freshman year of college. That was a verse that was read at the funeral. And then similarly, when my grandfather passed away, that was a verse that I read at his funeral. And really anytime, any of the trials and tribulations that we go through in life, that's just something that's really, important to keep with you. You know, Paul had mentioned that in the future tense earlier, I believe in Acts or Romans, he was said, you know, I will go out. I'm going to go create these churches. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to see it all the way through, and I'll keep my faith. And then again, in Timothy, in his last letter that he writes in the Bible, he finishes it with, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept my faith. And so it's just so cool to see and all the things that he went through, obviously, in his lifetime, that he kept God at the front of it. And that's something that I'm trying to do through the ups and downs, the ebbs and flows of the NFL.
Is your faith something that developed for you over time, or was it instilled upon in you as a young kid? How did you grow spiritually?
Yeah, my mother is a very devout Christian, so we were always at our church every Sunday. I was confirmed fairly early. I think that was about the time, like sixth grade, is when I really started taking off with it. I was very interested in the history and theology of the Bible. And I think in my Lutheran church growing up, it was a 3-year process to get confirmed. If you just, you know, you take your one class every Wednesday and whatever. But I got so on fire with it. I took all the classes in 1 year and got confirmed that first year, just got so interested in it. And then I was a solid member of FCA through high school. And when I got to Stanford, there was not a group like that. So I was part of the, five or six different athletes that founded the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at Stanford, which is still going on there today. And we grew that from just pretty much a football kind of Bible study to, 70 athletes meeting once a week at Stanford. So that was a very interesting time too.
When you hear Sean McDermott after the playoff win at the podium say, "All glory to God," how's that make you feel knowing that this is your coach and he's got similar feelings?
It's fantastic. You know, the guy who's steering our ship and the leader of this organization, the fact that we aligned in that way, I think that's why I mentioned I'm so appreciative of having my time with him here as a young player to see, you know, really what the gold standard of a head coach is in the NFL. And that's him.
Last one for you. You talked about wrestling in high school. I believe you a huge jump from freshman year to senior year, maybe over like 100 pounds or however it was. What's your go-to meal like when you want to, what is it? What do you love to eat? And, how did you do it then? Go gain that over the course of 3 years. It's not easy.
Well, you know how I said that my heart isn't biased. I guess my stomach's not biased either, because I got a lot of favorite good meals. I think a giant ass porterhouse and some mashed potatoes, corn on the cob, kind of your just Nebraska Midwestern meal is definitely up there. But here, there's so many great Italian spots in Buffalo, Ilio de Palos, Mangia's, Lucia's on the Lake. I mean, there's just Mulberry's. There's a lot of great places up here. So I got a lot of chicken parm. I think they were going to add a menu item at Ilio's. I get the porterhouse steak with a full order of chicken parmesan on top of it.
Wow.
So that helps keep some weight on. My one trick in high school and college is I would set an alarm every night at 3:30 in the morning. And right before I went to bed at night, I would make 2 peanut butter and jellies and have a glass of milk in my little fridge, whole milk. And so I'd wake up at 3:30, I'd eat 2 PB&Js, drink a glass of whole milk, go back to bed, and I was able to get another 1,000 calories every day. So that's how I, you know, was able to put on some weight.
Well, Harrison, man, this was fun. I really appreciate the conversation and wish you a ton of luck and a whole lot of blessings, my man.
Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
That was Bills defensive tackle Harrison Phillips. This is Faith on the Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's Dairy Stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc., is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank our awesome sponsors. We couldn't do this without them. Please check them out on our website, Cairn University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. Thank you so much to all of our sponsors who keep us going, and we truly appreciate their support. Wonderful people, awesome businesses. If you would like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive, all three shows, our podcast, our social media, whatever it is, we can make it happen. We also post video clips of our interviews. So there's a ton of different ways you can partner up with Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. If you don't have a business to advertise, but you just want to help the ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page on faithonthefieldshow.com. And now, very new, we also have, you can help our ministry by purchasing some of our merchandise through Remy's 828 Threads Apparel store. We have t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, sweatshirts, hoodies, mugs, face masks, and much more with awesome sayings. The My Story, His Glory is a popular shirt. We have a new design featuring a football helmet that says, I wear the helmet of salvation, which comes from Ephesians 6:17, and many others. So you can check that out on our site, faithonthefieldshow.com. Click under merch, and it's also all over our social media. I want to thank Harrison Phillips from the Buffalo Bills for being our guest this week. Big thanks also to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for all of their hard work for Faith on the Field. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, 107.5 Alive and Rhythm Mix Radio for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.